Today in Canadian history, July 8th. I'm Joe Barima. The July 8th, 1917 disappearance of the now famous Canadian painter Tom Thompson rivals any fictional story of intrigue. And it's a uniquely Canadian mystery. A handsome outdoorsman and a talented painter tosses a canoe over his head, paddles out into the mist of Canoe Lake in Algonquin Park, Ontario, and disappears. A body appears days later. Accidental drowning is noted as the cause of death. But is it? Tom Thompson's death still causes discussion and contemplation. The mystery hangs on the wall next to his masterpieces, The Jack Pine and The West Wind. Roy McGregor is the author of Canoe Lake, a fictional account of Tom Thompson's disappearance. He also examines the mystery in a non-fiction book to be released this fall called Northern Light.
There was a party on July 7th, 1917 at a trapper's, at a guide's cabin in Canoe Lake. There was a lot of drinking, and there was some spiteful words said about the war. Progress of the war was in some difficulty at the time. The Americans yet to join in. There was an American cottager on the lake called Martin Bletcher, and he and Thompson got into a battle about the war, apparently, and Bletcher said as he left that night, "Don't get in my way if you know what's good for you." So Judge Little wrote a book in 1970 called The Tom Thompson Mystery, in which he said that Bletcher had killed Thompson probably the next day as Thompson paddled down the lake, probably shot him with a .22 or else struck him with a paddle because there was a puncture hole in one temple when the body did surface, and it didn't appear that the body had drowned. So you have that scenario, and it is backed up by Shannon Fraser, the owner of the lodge where Tom was staying at, saying that he saw Tom paddle away from his dock at exactly 12:50, he knew because he checked his timepiece. That's always struck me as very odd. Who at a lodge ever checks a timepiece? I think he needed an alibi himself, because I happen to think it was Shannon Fraser who killed Tom Thompson, and that it didn't happen after that party at all, but happened sometime the following day. Ba, ba, ba.
That's right. An alternate theory. Mr. McGregor explains his theory involving Shannon Fraser.
I later ran into 1977. I found a woman called Daphne Crombie, who was then in her 90s, and she wanted to tell a story before her time was up. And so she told this amazing story about having been at Canoe Lake and staying at the Mowat Lodge that Shannon Fraser and his wife Annie ran. And she said that Annie confessed to her when they went for a walk that she had been snooping in Tom Thompson's room and come across some letters. And then among the letters was one from Thompson's girlfriend, Winifred Traynor of Huntsville. And in that letter, she said, "Tom, you must get the money back that Shannon owes you because you have to get a new suit. We have to get married." She told the story two different times, and in one version, she just would say, "We have to get married," and in the other one, she added in, "A baby is coming." So you have that kind of pressure on Thompson, the theory being that Thompson then went to Shannon Fraser and demanded the money back. They got into a scrap, and as Annie Fraser told Daphne Crombie, Shannon hit Tom. Tom went down, and his temple hit into the fire grate, which caused that puncture hole that people sometimes have said was caused by either a paddle or a .22. So it would have been manslaughter at the most. It certainly wasn't an intent to murder.
This is a mystery with many levels. The appearance of the body was only the first part of the story.
When they did finally find him, they buried him immediately at Canoe Lake. The family didn't make it up for the funeral or anything. They insisted that the body be exhumed and taken down to Owen Sound for burial in the family lot at least. An undertaker was hired, again, by Winifred Traynor, directly involved in this, told to do the job. He come up, worked all alone late at night with a lantern and a single shovel. No one can possibly understand how he dug this six-foot-down grave, dug up a body, moved it from one box into another box, sealed it up for travel on train, and took it to Owen Sound, where, although some in the family maintained the body had been viewed, it's absolutely preposterous to think anybody ever did look at the bloated, decaying body that had come up. So where does he lie? It's not only what happened to him, but where is he now? Is he in Leith, buried, as the family has always maintained, and the Ontario government maintained, or is he at Canoe Lake? Because in 1956, a bunch of men went up there, dug up this grave where they thought it was, came up with a skeleton. The skeleton had a skull with a hole exactly where Tom Thompson's puncture had been in the temple, and the forensic scientists of the Ontario government come out with a report saying, no, that's not Tom Thompson. Tom Thompson was 6 foot tall. He was 39 years old, almost 40. This is the skeleton of a 5'8", 22-year-old Indian, Aboriginal, we would say now, but they said Indian then, and then basically shut the book on the whole story. Well, I think there's a lot more. And I think Joe, he became an icon because of both the mystery and his art. Now, you and I aren't art experts, but we're expert enough to say his art is brilliant and it's absolutely fabulous, and it captures a part of this country that is just absolutely vivid and Canadian recognized, and in fact world recognized. It's going to be an exhibit of his stuff in London next year. So that you have the art. And then you have this very handsome, very romantic, almost pre-hippie naturalist living up in Algonquin Park and seemingly being involved with a number of women, perhaps having left one of them behind pregnant, certainly having left her behind thinking she was about to be married, leaving all these paintings behind and yet never having any money of his own, dying under mysterious circumstances, but not only dying under mysterious circumstances, being buried under mysterious circumstances.
Is there a next step in this mystery, or will it forever remain that?
Oh, I think there's the odd step. I talked to the Thompson family a bit, and Tracy Thompson, his great grandniece, she and I have an agreement that we hope that it's never totally proved, because if the mystery were to be completely solved, that would, as she puts it, that would be the end of the chatter, and I think the chatter should go on forever and ever.
Today is a day full of Canadian history. Back in 1974, Pierre Elliott Trudeau won a majority in the federal election. In 1896, fellow Prime Minister Charles Tupper resigned as Canada's sixth Prime Minister, only after 68 days in office. This makes his term the shortest in Canadian history to date. And Rafi Kavoukian, yes, that Rafi, was born in Cairo, Egypt, back in 1948. He would soon immigrate to Canada with his parents. And of course, on July 8th, we aired this episode of Today in Canadian History.
Today in Canadian History is produced by CJSW at 90.9 FM in Calgary. The executive producers are Joe Burima and Mark Affeld. Original music is provided by the Fisk, Fletcher, and May Trio. This series is not meant to be a definitive source on our past. Instead, we hope that it sparks a desire to learn more about our unique history. For more information on the series, or to recommend an event or moment, check out our website at cjsw.com/todayincanadianhistory.
Random Canadiana, anyone? If you had to get rid of one of the Great Lakes, which one could you do without?
Oh, I'd be happy to see Ontario go.
Why Ontario?
Toronto's on it.